Today on Real Radio.
He's being rejected by his fellow brothers and sisters, so to speak, according to the flesh, the Jews. Look what it says in verse 9. Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, Paul speaking of himself, having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. That is, Paul sealed their death certificate. Yeah, these guys were killed because they were Christians, and we're going to eradicate them from the land. Signed, Paul. And this guy was converted.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament book of Acts. We're in a mini-series called Paul's Great Defense. It's a presentation that takes us from chapter 25 into the entirety of 26. The apostle defends himself as he goes before King Agrippa. Remember, Paul, formerly Saul of Tarsus, was a man of extremely high intelligence and acquired knowledge, certainly among the few able to defend oneself. Let's continue. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
You see, Paul's guilty of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ that changes lives. Did you know Paul's conversion is recorded in secular history? You can read Roman history, and you can read the historians and learn about Paul's conversion. You don't have to read your Bible. Did you know Paul's conversion changed the course of human history? Did you know that? You don't have to be a Christian to believe that. You just have to be smart to believe that. You have to be knowledgeable. You would have to have read to know that. That Paul's conversion changed the course of Europe when he visited Rome. Paul's conversion changed the course of the world. Some universities use the book of Romans to study Paul's argument to present the case of not the gospel. They could care less about the gospel. They study the book of Romans to study how Paul gave a perfect argument for his case. And some attorneys study how they can do that. He was such an excellent debater for the gospel. But how do you handle the message he brought? How do you handle the message that's in your lap right now in this book? The gospel of Jesus Christ says that Jesus is God. He came on the cross. He died for our sins. He rose from the dead, and he's purchased for us eternal life. But you have to trust in him to receive of that. And it's totally free. And you don't get it any other way. And that's an amazing thing. And Paul says, man, that's why I'm being judged. He's being rejected by his fellow brothers and sisters, so to speak, according to the flesh, the Jews. Look what it says in verse 9. Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, Paul speaking of himself, having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. That is, Paul sealed their death certificate. Yeah, these guys were killed because they were Christians, and we're going to eradicate them from the land. Signed, Paul. And this guy was converted. And I punished them often and from every synagogue, verse 11, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. You guys, my heart was ripped out of my chest this week. After Sunday's service, and there's just no way, and again, there's so many of you visiting this morning, I pray that you'd forgive me today. I'll be out of form. But Sunday morning service started at 11 o'clock, and it was 19 below, and by the time I got from the metro to the church, I was cold. And it's so funny, because when I was teaching, and you have a translator next to you, and you're speaking to the church, and it's going through in Russian, and my nose began to drip, and it's really gross, and I'm thinking, what is going on here? And those people traveled, some of them traveled an hour and 20 minutes to come to a church service that they wouldn't miss for anything in 19 below zero weather, just to sing, just to open the Bible. And we got all done, and we were making our way back to the metro, and right alongside me, there was about maybe six of us, but right alongside me was a girl that I had not met. I noticed her in service. She was a beautiful young girl, 21 years old, and I couldn't figure out what nationality she was. She looked different, but she was speaking Russian. And I said, excuse me. She goes, yes. Oh, you speak English. Great. Where are you from? Are you Jewish? She says, am I Jewish? I'm Jewish. What's your name? She goes, Elena Moses. Elena Moses. I said, wow, nice to meet you. And how's it going? She goes, well, it's not going very good. I go, what's going on? Listen to this. Those of you who know your Bible, her and I said this simultaneously. She said, well, it's not going very good because my family's moving to Israel. My parents have been born and raised here, and we're Jewish, of course, and but my parents feel a strong desire to move to Israel. And I said, Isaiah 43. And the same time she said it, Isaiah 43, where God says in the Bible there, right before he comes back to the earth, he will say to the land of the north, everybody awake? Wake up the guy that's next to you. I will say to the land of the north, give up my people. You don't go any further north from Israel than Russia, and you barely go any further north than St. Petersburg from Jerusalem. And she says, my mom and dad have a desire to go to Israel, and we've applied for immigration, and everything's going great, and we're going to be moving there. She says, I have a problem. Can you help me? So what is it? She says, I accepted Jesus Christ through one of these outreaches, and I love the Lord, and he's my Messiah. But because my last name's Moses, and because I'm Jewish, and I'm a completed Jew, she says, I have to sign a document before I can enter the nation of Israel. I have to denounce Christ as my Savior. So they won't let me in. So what does your mom and dad think? Well, my mom and dad told me that I have to denounce Christ, that I shouldn't believe in him anyway. And I said, what are you going to do? She goes, I don't know, because if I denounce Christ, I can't even think of the thought. But if I hold on to Christ, I can't go into the country that my parents are going, and I'll be left behind. What do I do? She asked me, what do I do? What do you say? You know what she said? She goes, I gotta pray. And please remember to pray for her. She says, I gotta pray because Peter, a good Jewish boy, denounced Christ and was forgiven. But I don't know if that's for me to do. And I said, all I can tell you is that we'll pray for you. And she's on the prayer chain here now, as of a couple days ago anyhow. One person. Paul is standing in the gathering, and there's possibly 22,000 people against the very message that they had hoped for. And this girl, Moses, receives Jesus as Messiah, goes home and tells her parents, and if she doesn't eventually denounce Christ, they'll have a funeral for her in Jerusalem or in Israel. That's the custom. And God began to speak to my heart how valuable one person is. I don't know what's going on with you. But if you think for a moment that you're some number, that you're some name, that you're somebody on a roster, or you're in the phone book, or you're occupying a seat, and that's all you are, you have missed it. God loves you so much, and he is so incredibly in love with you. And are you missing it? Are you saying, well, maybe, you know what? Hey, maybe the Bible's true, maybe it's not true. And God is reaching out and he's saying, hey, I love you. Come on, these things are true. Listen, I can tell you right now, archaeologically, scientifically, and every other way, that the Bible's true and it can be proven. It has nothing to do with intelligence. It has all to do with the attitude of your heart. Those of you who are here Wednesday, bear with me. But we were on, that was Sunday night, we were on the metro riding, about six of us, five, six of us together. And I was talking to Alina, who you saw a couple months ago here. She came up to say goodbye to you. And out of nowhere, okay, this is just nothing. I didn't see a vision. God didn't say, hey, I'm speaking to you. I just don't know why. We were talking. I said, let's pray for your dad. That if God wants to save him, he'll save him. She goes, well, okay. So I leaned over and I said, Lord, in Jesus' name, if you want Alina's dad to get saved, open the door and let us know when you open the door. Amen. And we said that on a bumpy metro underground with a bunch of people, and we couldn't even hear ourselves. So we go to the house Monday night, last Monday, and we're sitting down, and if you've never been in a Russian home, and especially like we were blessed to be the first Westerners into the Russian house, they bless you beyond their ability. And you say no to nothing. And they're just lavishing us, and we're there, and I totally forgot about the prayer. Totally forgot. And so I'm at one head of the table, the father's at the other head of the table, and the father says, so how many times have you been here now? And I said, well, this is like a lot of times now. Eighth, ninth time. And he says, why do you come? Alina's to my left. Pastor Paul, our pastor there in St. Pete, is sitting right to his left. I look at her. Her mouth goes open. Her eyes get big. I said, do you want to know what we do here? Do you want to know why we come to Russia? I will tell you if you want to know. I want to know. In an hour and 20 minutes went on. God, listen, people. I have rarely in my life ever experienced a supernatural manifestation of God's presence like I did in that room from that moment on. I felt God's hand behind my back. I knew that this thing was... It was amazing because I remember as we began to talk, I looked over at Alina and I said, go. She goes, what? I said, leave the room. She goes, are you kidding? No way. I can't believe this is happening. And I said, leave the room. He couldn't understand what I was saying. God wanted her to leave the room. I told her to leave the room, and she stepped out. She would come in to bring dishes back and forth. But as soon as she stepped out of the room, he began to let down his guard, the father, and he began to speak, and he started to ask questions. And the questions that he began to ask immediately, I had the scripture verse reference immediately, and I said, Paul, turn to Isaiah 52, verse 7. Read him that verse. Now turn to Mark 1:16, read him that verse. It was supernatural, you guys. I wish you could have been there. I couldn't believe it. We came to the point, he said, how can we trust the Bible? How do we know? He was given an answer, and he was appeased with that. He wanted to know about this and about that and about the other, and every answer came from the Bible. I told him, I said, let me interject something right here, right now. If this conversation continues the direction that I think it's going, in a moment of time, you are going to feel uncomfortable. And I said, Paul, tell him that in Russian. He told him that in Russian. Now tell him this. He's going to be tempted to think of an excuse. Tell him to remember this. So Paul told him that. 10, 15, 20 minutes went by. Punchline. There was the cups of water, purified water in front of us, because you can't drink the water there. It's terrible. So the water's pure. And I said, Victor, this is who we are. We are a container of this water, or we are a glass filled with water. And Victor, would you drink this cup if I put one drop of cyanide crystal into that cup? He said, no way. What about two drops? No. What about four? No. Why? Listen, his words. Because if the water inside the vessel is poison, then the whole vessel is poison. I almost jumped out of my seat. I said, Victor, the Ten Commandments? He says, what do you mean? I said, the Ten Commandments. I'm not sure. What? Well, the Ten Commandments says, God says, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Have you done that? No. So, well, let's put a drop in the water, okay? Okay. Go down the Ten Commandments. You shall not lie. Not a white lie, black lie, gray lie. No lie. Well. You can't look at your neighbor's wife and desire her in your mind. Just in your mind. Oh, well. Wow. So in your container, in your water, is your water pure? Or is there droplets of cyanide in there? It doesn't matter. One drop, four drops. Oh, no. Poison water. No good. So, Victor, are you willing to admit that you've broken any of the Ten Commandments, God's perfect standard for life, and we've broken that? You agree with me that we're sinners? Yes, I do. And I said, Victor, I'm going to ask you right now. You understand that Jesus came and died on the cross. You heard that. You understand that you're a sinner. Now the next thing is, Victor, for you to receive Jesus Christ. And he goes, well, and he starts moving around. I said, you feel uncomfortable? He says, yes. Where? Right here. I said, you need to accept Jesus now. You know what he said? Maybe tomorrow. I said, Victor, that's an excuse. Paul, turned to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. He turned there. Today's the acceptable time. Now. Now is the moment of salvation. He heard the verse and he says, well, let's pray. Every answer, every question handled. Conversion in a moment. I tell you guys, I got through this without bawling my head off. I've been crying daily since that happened. I'm not kidding. Can't stop praying for the guy. I can't wait to see the guy. It was so hard to leave. Handshake at his door turned out to be a hug and a hug and a hug and a squeeze. Why? The gospel, no matter what your opinion, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it. I'll stand before 22,000 people and tell you with a little bald head and hook-nosed, bow-legged physique that I have that Jesus Christ saves sinners from hell, and there's no other way to get to heaven but through him. And you might say, well, that's religion. No, it's not religion. Jesus spoke against religion more than anybody else in the world. Religion is man's way to reach heaven. God says it won't work. I'll come down and I'll save you and I'll die on the cross. And for that reason, Paul was being judged. He says in verse 21 of this chapter 26, for these reasons the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come. Isn't that awesome? That the Christ, that is Jesus, Messiah, Mashiach of Israel, would suffer. Isaiah 52 and Isaiah chapter 53. That he would rise from the dead and would proclaim the light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. That is Paul's fault. And I got to tell you, in closing and wrapping this up, I just blew this whole thing today, according to my notes. I would have given anything, I mean that from the bottom of my heart, if you could have been a little mouse on my shoulder this week. I got to see God in everything, everywhere, in a city of 6.8 million people. I traveled 7,800 miles one way to speak at, I thought, at a pastor's conference in Moscow, get on a midnight train, go through the wilderness freezing mess, get there and go through this thing, try to find a place to stay, get the thing, and all this stuff, thinking, well, you know, this is just part of the deal. God having a plan all the way for one man on a Monday night. in a flat with thousands of people living in these cubicles. And we left that night. You should have seen us in the car. We were insane. Russian and Americans alike, we were insane. We were just praising God. Can you believe what happened? Get on the airplane, crying. Sit down. Another Christian. Hi, who are you? Nice to meet you. You look like America. Yeah, we're from here and there. God bless you. Neat Christian. Yeah, praise the Lord. Go to Warsaw, Poland. Another guy, get on the Christian. Yeah, hey, God bless you. What are you doing? We're putting Bibles over. Hey, God bless you. That's great. That's... Get to Frankfurt, Germany. Flight all messed up. Got to wait for 6 hours. Nobody around. Open my Bible. I'm reading. I hear this guy loud. Now that brother's reading the right book. And I just looked up. And I said, amen. Who are you? The guy is from, he's president of some prison ministry, and he's going to be right over here in Alta Loma in a few days. We're in Frankfurt, Germany. Sit on the plane, leaving Los Angeles, 300 people on board, sit down, the lady in front of us. And I'm thinking, because I just got an invitation to go to India to speak at a pastor's conference in Bombay. It's like, why? I don't know anybody in India. But I'm thinking, this lady's from India. In the front seat, right in front. You know what? Hi, who are you? She's from India. She's going to India to help at a pastor's conference in Bombay. Her professor was a couple seats over. He's a professor at Biola University. There are Christians all over the plane. Christians everywhere. You know why? There will always be Christians everywhere. As long as there's one person needing to be reached. Just one. So I get back home and I read Paul and he just blows me away. Now I know why he wept every time. He says, I think of you often in my prayers and I weep and I pray. I didn't know that verse and those meanings until now. Pray for Elena Moses. Pray for Victor Zinkova. Pray for me because, man, is my heart torn between two worlds. If the phone remotely rings from St. Petersburg, I'm so concerned for that man's discipleship. I've never felt that way. I can't explain it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, relating a story about how he now understands Paul's passion for his own people. It's part of a mini-series called Paul's Great Defense. We'll look at part of Acts chapters 25 and 26, where we learn of the apostles' defense before King Agrippa. Join us again on Monday's edition of Real Radio as we continue in this mini-series. Now, if you're enjoying and benefiting from Real Radio, please let us know. You can do this in one of two ways. RealRadioActive.org, RealRadioActive.org, or the traditional way, write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.